Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Turn with me to Acts chapter 4, if you would. We'll get right into the scriptures. It's good to have all the kids in here and in the house. You're not bothering me a bit. We had raised my own two. I got four grandkids. We had a daycare in our house. Hallelujah. It's not a problem. Amen. Not going to quench the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Does some old religious people, but don't bother God. Amen.
Amen.
Acts chapter 4, if you would. Just real quick, I'll talk about a few CDs that I've got in the back table there. I did a men's meeting a while back, and it really turned out, seemed to be a blessing to the people there. I did it down in Texas, so if you hear a lot of y'alls, it's not me.
Yeah.
Amen. I did learn that the plural of y'all is all y'all, so that's about as far as I go with it. Praise the Lord. But I took a verse, you know, when Jesus got done, they woke Jesus up and he calmed the storm, right? And they get to the shoreline and all is well. And he turns to his disciples and he says, where's your faith? I say it this way, what are you here for? If I got to do everything, why are you here? It's like a boss hiring three people to help him mow lawns, and he's the only one on the mower. They're all sitting in the truck. Amen? It's like, well, then why am I paying all of you? Hallelujah. So, Brother Ray, what's that have to do with the men's meeting? I'm finding a lot of men sitting by watching their family go to the world, and they say, well, you don't understand, Brother Ray. It's the last days. I understand. My question is, what are you for? Why did God leave you as the man of the house? Amen. To just, you know, if I go out of town or I take my wife out for dinner and we're out for dinner and I have a babysitter because my kids are little and I come back and the house is just destroyed, right? Just destroyed. Vacuum cleaner's in the fish tank and we got crackers all over everything and amen. And dog ate the cat, which it wouldn't bother me because I don't like cats. But anyways. There it goes. Good thing you took the offering first. Hallelujah. But anyways. And I say to the babysitter, what gives? Look at my house. Well, you know, Brother Ray, you know your kids are rambunctious. That's what kids do. You know, I'm going to say the same thing. I understand that. Why do you think I put you here?
That's right.
Why do you think you're here?
That's right?
Yeah. God is looking at the men of the house. If you know what I'm saying? He said, why do you think I put you in charge of my daughter? Why do you think I gave you those kids for you to watch over their souls? That's what you're for.
Amen.
What are you for? You're here to contribute something to the overall protection of that family. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now, I understand that there's a lot of, I just give my CDs away, brother, because, you know, Dr. Barclay says, raise your hands, and everybody raises their hands. I don't have that much faith. What if nobody wants my CDs? I just give it by faith. Praise the Lord. Me and you. Amen. I'm a humble man. I know my place. It's all right. But my point is this, right? My point is this, is that you cannot update the Bible. God doesn't care if it's not modern, right? He set up marriage his way. You can't twist it into what he didn't say it could be. You can do it if you want. He's not going to anoint it. Amen? You can play these games and you can do all of that you want. Brother Hagin, probably, you quoted Brother Hagin, he probably said it best. You can't modernize God. There's only so many ways to get close to the Almighty. Prayer, consecration, fasting, Bible study time, coming to hear the man of God, that's how you get to know the Almighty. You can have all the technology you want, but you can't walk past those principles. Amen. And I'm not against technology. I've got, I don't know, 5-6 Bibles on my phone. I've got them on my iPad. I have them on my computer. And they're all good, but nothing replaces a little rug time.
Come on. It's good.
Amen. You can't change that.
Amen.
And I can tell. Did you find Acts chapter 4 yet?
Yeah.
I can tell when people are giving me what I call a concordant sermon.
Yeah.
You hopped on your concordance. You looked up the word blood. And you just spit out 8-10 verses on the blood. Is it the word? Yeah, it's the word. But if it's a river, it's a mile wide and a half inch deep. Amen? And you can't float down that, and you can't wash anything in that. Amen? Can you say amen?
Amen.
So we just need to go a little deeper. Say deeper.
Deeper.
You can start there, but you don't want to stay there. You want to get deeper than that. Can you say amen? Acts chapter 4, did you find it? Praise God. Acts chapter 4, let's pick it up here at verse 5. Some wonderful things have happened. And just before this, Peter and John heal the man at the gate. Beautiful. It's just what Pastor was talking about, silver and gold. I don't have what I have. I give to you. And this man gets healed, and thousands give their life to Jesus Christ. And Peter and John are the ones responsible for it. So the religious people, being the sweethearts they are, threw him in jail. Sound familiar? Threw him in jail. So they bring him out, and here we are in chapter 4, verse 5. It says this, it says, and it came to pass on the next day that the rulers, say rulers, the elders, say elders, and scribes, say scribes. Look at this crowd. And Annas, the high priest, Caiaphas, John, and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest, were gathered at Jerusalem. And when they had set them in the midst, they asked, by what power or by what name have you done this? We're just going to grab the two words out of the next verse. Then Peter. The title of my message tonight is called Then Peter. Pause that. We'll come back to it. Go with me to the book of Leviticus, if you would, please. Chapter 1. We're going to talk a little bit about the burnt offering here. Chapter 1, let's go with verse 5, talking about the Old Testament. You know, it's been said and well said that the New Testament is the Old Testament revealed. What's in the Old Testament is the New Testament concealed in there. It's all really one book. Can you say amen?
Yeah.
My wife teaches children. She did a wonderful illustration. She took a bunch of books and she laid them out before the kids. And she said, see, this is an instruction book on how to put together a swing set, or instruction book on how to put together a grill or different things. Men, those do help. Hallelujah. But she said, now what about the Bible, boys and girls? Seems like so many different books. So she took a bag of Legos and she began to count out the Legos, so many for the Old Testament, so many for the New. And she started pushing them all together. She said they're all different books, but they all fit together. God put them all together and it's just one book. That's how it works. That's the Holy Ghost. I don't care if it's children's church or adult church. Amen. I know that voice anywhere. That's the Holy Ghost. And here in Leviticus, it says this, verse 6 or 5. It says, and he, that's the priest, he shall kill the bull before the Lord, and the priest, Aaron's sons, shall bring the blood and sprinkle the blood all around the altar that is by the door of the tabernacle of meeting. And he shall skin the burnt offering and cut it into its pieces. And the sons of Aaron, the priest, shall put fire, say fire, on the altar, and lay wood in order on the fire. Then the priest, Aaron's son, shall lay the parts, the head and the fat, in the order on the wood that is on the fire upon the altar. Say the fire.
Fire.
Seems like God's kind of repeating himself here. But verse 9, it says, but he shall wash the entrails with its and its legs with water, and the priest shall burn, say burn.
Burn
on the altar as the burnt sacrifice, an offering made by fire, a sweet aroma to the Lord. Now this goes on in chapter 1 and it repeats, talks about different, if I can say it this way, size animals, right? There's a goat, and then it's going to talk about a pigeon or a turtle dove, we might call it. But what it's talking about is it was the priest's job to, as you brought your sacrifice, to take that sacrifice and to cut it open. And then to take that and to open it up, and so that it was over that fire, and to stoke that fire and to bring enough wood so that every part of that animal was touched by the fire on the altar. And it's a wonderful, what we call a type and shadow or a picture of the New Testament priest. That you're supposed to, see, there's a reason why Jesus washed the disciples' feet. And it parallels here in these verses. You know, you're not bad, but you get dirt on your feet. You're just walking through a dusty, dirty place. You come here tonight, and it's like I prayed before we got started. You come here today from the world, and you have on the news, and the news may be bad or whatever. I have to watch it. I throw away too many TVs. Hallelujah. But you gotta wash that off. You have to wash off the philosophies of the day. You have to wash off the rudiments of this world. You got to get to where you can get that out of your system. Can you say amen? But the disciples weren't bad because they had dirt. It's just part of going through life. But you have to do what you're doing tonight. Come on a church night, on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning, whenever your preacher has church, and let him wash that off of you. Because eventually that's going to get to where it's got bacteria and it's got problems with it. It's going to poison your system. Can you say amen? Amen. Just good to get washed a little bit. Can you say amen?
Amen?
And what the Bible's talking about here is this priest is supposed to understand how the altar works. It's his job description. To understand the sacraments of the Almighty. Amen. Remember when David brought the ark back from the enemies, I think the Philistines, and it was brought back by putting it on an ark, and then they carried it right with the animals. But Uzzah, it hit a pothole. You don't have potholes here?
Yeah.
Oh, we have potholes in Michigan. Hallelujah. You almost have to send a search party out to find your car in the pothole. But when that ark hit, in that cart rather, holding the ark, when it hit the pothole, Uzzah didn't have a bad heart, but he reached up and tried to steady the ark, and when he did, it was a violation because we weren't allowed to touch the ark of the Almighty God. There's a certain part of God that man better understand you do not cross. You do not cross. It's interesting to me, Pastor. The devil fears and trembles at the mention of his name, but man mocks it. As if it doesn't matter. Maybe the demons know something people haven't figured out yet. He's not to be crossed. He's not to be made light of. There's a reason that those who were kicked out of heaven have total fear when Jesus came in. They fell at his feet and said, "Are you here to torment us before the time?" But man thinks they can mock him. I saw a sign, you know, at one of the abortion things they were doing. It said, "Jesus comes back, kill him again." You better be careful. You better be careful. Why are you bringing Jesus into that? You don't even believe in Jesus. I could go on. But here, it was the job of the priest to understand what God required. In Uzzah's day, it was the job. I promise you, Uzzah did wrong. David did wrong. But you know who I believe will answer for Uzzah's death will be the priest who should have spoke up and said, "David, you can't do this. Good idea, nice plan, we'll help you, but you can't do it your way. There's instructions in the scriptures on how to bring the ark in, and we can't do this the way the world tried to do it."
Amen.
It's all good until there's a problem, and then you'll find out God's not backing you anymore. Amen?
Amen.
But that was the priest's job. Now go with me, if you would, to Leviticus chapter 10, talking about the burnt offering a little bit. Let's actually go to chapter 9:23, just back up a couple of verses there. It says, "And Moses and Aaron went into the tabernacle of meeting and came out, and they blessed the people." Isn't that good? God's leadership goes in and gets with God, and they come out and they bless the people. That's the job of the priest.
Yeah, amen.
"Then the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people." Isn't that wonderful? "And fire," say fire. "And fire came out from before the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat upon the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted and fell upon their faces." So what happened is, in Leviticus 1, God is giving instruction, but the fire hasn't come yet. He's just explaining how this is going to work. Finally, after everything is explained and it's all written out and it's all recorded, then the fire doesn't come from man, it comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. The job of the priest then, if you've ever done this, because I have an outside wood burner we heat our house with, you don't have to light the fire every day, but you have to tend the fire every day.
Come on.
And you take those coals and you let that fire burn down, but if you'll take and just gather all those coals back up again, put some fresh wood on top, and then just that fire will come back up again and off it goes.
Yeah.
Do you ever wonder why at the day of Pentecost it says, "And there was a sound as of a rushing mighty wind"? and fire began to be found upon God's apostles and disciples. Here, that's what was the job of the priest. They were supposed to, this fire that came from heaven, as they moved from place to place, they gathered it then and they put it in that little tin box and they would take it with them as they went. If you were Catholic, you've probably seen the ashes or whatever, but that's what they're trying to envision for people. You bring this as you went. Chapter 10, verse 1. Nadab and Abihu, the sons of Aaron, each took his censer and put fire in it, but incense on it, and offered profane fire. Now, why is that profane? Because they weren't careful to keep the fire that had come from heaven. They let it go out. And so instead of taking time to pray again and for God to bring the fire down and repent and to say, Lord, we've gotten busy, we've gotten distracted, we've lost our focus, we shouldn't have done it, but God, we're so sorry. Would you please help us? And God in his mercy would have relit it, but they brought man's fire. And they offer profane fire, what the King James calls strange fire, before the Lord, which he had not commanded them. So fire went out from the Lord and devoured them, and they died before the Lord. And it goes on and it talks about a discussion Moses has with Aaron because God just killed two of Aaron's sons. You know, we have all kinds of priests today in modern Christianity, quote unquote, bringing strange fire into the house of God. They don't want to, it's too much effort to pray for the fire to come from heaven. I'll just stand up here and we'll pretend that we're having a move of the Spirit because I haven't spent any time with the Almighty. I don't want to get on my knees. That's too much work for me. So we'll just pretend that I've been with the Almighty now and I'll offer that. And God says, I won't have it in my house. Hallelujah. I don't care if you are Aaron's sons. It's not okay with me. Paul said it this way. He said, be careful that no man defile you through the rudiments or the philosophies of this world. Man's fire. Yeah. Yeah. Well, this is what I think. God doesn't really care what man thinks.
Amen.
If you want the truth, God already knows what he thinks. That's why he said, you don't get to tell my people, this isn't yours. Amen. You're a mess. Why would I listen to you? Amen. In the Old Testament, when Rehoboam became priest after Solomon had gone, the Egyptians came and they raided the temple and they took some of the gold out of the temple. Over the course of time, they didn't want to replace it with gold because it was too much effort again. So they put brass in the temple and they just all pretended that we're back to the original status, the glory of the Lord. We have it happening all over the world right now. Where people are trying to pretend we're having a move of God or pretend that we're having church. But it takes a good pastor like what you've got here that takes time and spends it with God Almighty. That when you show up for church, they take you and they open you up before the Almighty. And they take your heart and they lay it open and they touch it with the fire from heaven. Until every part of you has been cleansed by that holy fire that comes out of heaven itself from God himself. And it's sanctify them, the Bible says, Lord, by your truth, your word. That's what cleanses. That's what separates. Your word is truth. It burns away in me what doesn't belong anymore. It's not man's philosophy. It's not man's idea anymore. And when Nadab and Abihu with good intentions, like Uzzah had good intentions, he decided he'd do this his way. God said, no, you won't. It's not good enough. It's not holy enough. It's not pure enough. We have people all over. You can turn on almost any television set you want or go to almost any internet preacher. You find that you can tell they've never touched the true fire of God. Like that Old Testament story, you know, with the brass. It was just too much effort to go back and to pray and pay the price for the true gold to come again. We'll just all shine up this brass and pretend that it's good enough. It's interesting, isn't it, that Jesus in the book of Revelations, he says, I counsel you to buy of me gold. He's not saying literal gold. He's saying spend the time again in prayer, spend the time again in fasting, spend the time again in consecration that you can obtain what's the gold, the true glory or the touch of the Almighty God on your heart. And no more pretending that you're having a move of the Spirit. I'm not opposed to smoke machines and light shows. If you want to have them, okay. But that's different from a true weeping at the altar. Because the conviction of the Holy Spirit has hit your heart. Old preacher one time, my pastor, Dr. Barclay, asked this old preacher by the name of C.S. Updegrove. He said, "Brother Updegrove, what's the difference between your day and today?" He said, "We preach Jesus, you boys just preach about Him." He said, "So our people knew Jesus and your people only know about Him." There's a difference. There's a difference. There's a vast difference. When I met God and I got filled with the Holy Spirit, the fire hit my soul and began to burn away all the philosophies of man, and it took away all the doubts. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Go with me, if you would, to Acts chapter 26. Is this all right for a Wednesday night service? Are you with me? Acts chapter 26, we'll pick it up here at verse 14. This is the Apostle Paul. He's given his account about how he was getting ready to wipe out so many of the Christians, and God interrupted him and visited him. And he's recounting it for everybody what had happened to him in verse 14. It says, "And when we had fallen to the ground, I heard a voice speaking to me, saying in the Hebrew language, 'Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads.' So I said, 'Who are you, Lord?' And he said, 'I am Jesus whom you are persecuting.'" That's a bad day.
Yeah.
That's a bad day. If you're running around killing anybody affiliated with Jesus Christ, and all of a sudden you're laying on the ground looking up, and you say, "Who are you?" He says, "I'm Jesus Christ." Brace yourself.
Amen.
Brace yourself. "But rise and stand to your feet," 16, "for I have appeared to you," look at that, "for this purpose, to make you a minister and a witness of both the things you have seen and the things which I will yet reveal to you." The word minister there doesn't, you know, like we say, like Brother Ray's a minister of the gospel, or Pastor Pearl, or Brother Gregory here's a minister of the gospel. But literally it's talking about, it means the under rower on the boat. You're not the guy who steers the boat.
Amen.
You're the guy who rows the boat.
Amen.
You don't get steering privileges.
Thank you.
You know, over the course of time, of course, I've been with Dr. Barclay now, I don't know, 34 years, something like that. And I've heard, I don't know how many Marine Corps stories. Love them all. They're wonderful. The one that's really always stayed with me is something he talked to us assistant ministers in private about, using, if I could say, this same verse. He told this story. He said when he was in the Marine Corps, they would work security on the naval boats. Now, I don't understand all the captains' boats versus ships, and so if you were in the military, I'm sorry. I'm doing the best I can with this. Hallelujah. But it's not like you can't tell. Amen. So he said, I'm working security, and I'm up in the helm where they steer the ship, and everything is going on, and it's early in the morning. And what's happened is the captain of the boat has gone to bed, and the second in command has taken the midnight shift, and he's taken it into the early morning. The sun is coming up, and the skipper's coming back on the deck. And as he comes on the deck, he's getting his coffee and he's making his way around, and he happens to just walk by the compass of the ship, and he says, "Why is the heading changed?" It's only like 2 degrees, right? It wasn't like a big deal, 1, maybe 2 degrees. And he said, "Well, Captain," he said, "during the night we got a notice that there's something out in the water out there away, so I made an adjustment. We're maybe 8-10 miles in front of it. That way we just make a slight course correction. We'll be right back on in a little while." And he said, "Well," he said, "that's probably a good reason." He said, "But if you ever change the heading of my ship again without my knowledge, I will court-martial you on the spot, no questions asked." Court-martial isn't fired. Court-martialed is fired in prison. You understand?
Uh-huh.
The idea was, his authority was to take that boat to the setting that the captain had given him.
Yes.
He had no authority to adjust where it was going, only to take it to the predetermined course.
Yeah.
That's it. As an assistant minister, I don't ever touch the compass of the ship. When I come in, even into your church or your church, that heading was supposed to come from heaven. I don't touch it. My job is to row to help you get it where God told you to get it. It's none of my business. You, the Lord has you with a missionary emphasis, hallelujah. The Lord has you with a worship emphasis, hallelujah. The Lord tells you to go to the streets or to go to Wall Street, none of my business. I don't touch the heading. It's interesting that God told Moses, he said, when he came off of the mountainside in the book of Exodus, he says, see that you build the lantern according to the pattern shown you on the mountain. Now, why would he say that unless he already knew the people were going to try to adjust it? It repeats again. See that you build this according to the pattern shown you. What's that mean? I know people. Moses, as soon as they see what we're doing, they're going to put their own. Amen. God has no suggestion boxes. He's good. Amen.
Amen.
We've all tried. He just thinks he's God. You don't have to give him any votes. Amen.
Amen.
Paul, if you go to Acts chapter 22, he begins to explain his call, and they're all quiet and they're all listening. And then he says, and then he sent me to the Gentiles, and it says, and they were with him until that point. And then they said, away with such a man from the earth, he is not fit to live. In other words, we were good preacher with your sermon. We were good with the miracles. We were okay with the visitation. But if you think we're going to set sail for the Gentile nations, you're on your own. But the Apostle Paul had something he had learned, is that I don't get to steer this ship. My job is to row to the jails, to the prisons, on the missions field. My job is to take the gospel wherever Jesus Christ tells me to take it. I have no steering privileges whatsoever. Because as soon as we start bringing man's fire, we're going to ruin everything. And all we're going to have is a social club and not a church anymore.
Amen.
Not a church anymore where the sinner can get set free. I was telling Pastor Bob and Sherry the other day, I heard a story about a baseball coach. Well, that intrigued me because I like baseball. He had given a speech to hundreds, if not thousands, of different coaches from all over America, high school and college and pro, and some semi-pros were all there. And well, he gave the speech, he took a home plate and he draped it around his chest like a big, you could just see it here, it was chained down, and he did like a 25 minute presentation. In that, he said this, and this is the part I want to bring home to us tonight. He said, this is home plate. Does anybody know the dimensions of home plate? Somebody finally spoke up and they said it's 17 inches across side to side and gave the rest of the dimensions. He said, that's right. He said, what size is home plate when you play Little League ball? They said it's 17 inches. What size is home plate when you play high school ball? 17 inches. College, 17. Semi-pro, 17. Pro, 17. You know what they never do? You get into the World Series and the best of the best and the pitcher's making $1 million and he can't seem to get the ball over the plate. You know what they don't do? They don't widen it out to 18. They don't make it 20 because this guy makes a lot of money and he's important to us. You either meet the standard or go sit down. There is no in between here. Over the course of time, man has tried to take the, you don't want to live the whole Bible? Well, we'll just stretch it out a little bit. We'll just change this now for modern Christians. We'll just adjust this now because so-and-so doesn't want to give if I preach that. So-and-so isn't going to come anymore to church if we don't change or adjust the house of God and we build it according to the pattern God showed us on the mountain. We don't want the pattern God showed preacher in private. We want steering privileges. Man doesn't get steering privileges in the house of God.
Amen.
I can't tell you how many times when I read the book of Revelations and you see what the Lord said to those seven churches, my heart when I see what he says to the church of Ephesus. Because you go back and you read Acts chapter 18, Acts chapter 19, and the way Paul birthed the church of Ephesus, right, was he took on the goddess of Diana of Ephesus, greatest Diana of Ephesus, greatest, and he bore that price and he went through all that work and he stayed there. He preached in the temple, the Bible says, for 3 months to build that church. And then he gave him so much trouble in the temple that he went out and he rented a school from a guy named Tyrannus, and he stayed there for 2 more years to birth that church. And then we have the book of Ephesians, which is Paul writing that church, keeping them going. And here they are after all of that. And in the book of Revelations, because Paul has now gone home, he's already been martyred, the apostle John is given the vision of the book of Revelations, and he says, you have left your first love. Your start was nice, it's not good enough anymore. Where's the fire? Where's the burning? Where is the holy word of the Almighty God that cleanses your soul and drives all of these things away that don't belong in you anymore? Can you say amen? Amen. Am I with the right church tonight? Are you still here? John the Baptist said this. He said, I baptize you with water, but there's one coming after me. I'm not worthy to tie his shoes. I can baptize you with water, but I'm telling you, this priest that's coming. Yes. This priest that's coming. This priest that's coming. Yeah. He's going to baptize you with the Holy Ghost and
fire.
He's not here to play man's game. He's not here to be adjusted by man. He's not coming to make sure man likes him or man doesn't like him. In John chapter 5, I think it's 39, 40 right in there. If you read it in the Amplified Version, Jesus says, I seek no human honor. I crave no mortal fame. In other words, I'm not trying to be famous or well-liked. I am doing what my heavenly Father says. What's that mean? I take this boat where my Father tells me to take it. Remember in Matthew 16, I believe it is, Peter comes along and Jesus says, we're going to the cross. And what's Peter tell Jesus? No, far be it, Lord, that you should do such a thing. Why? Because the Heavenly Father said, set sail now for Jerusalem. Set sail for the cross. And Peter said, oh no, Pastor. Our church can't do that. You can't do that. I want off the boat. I want off the boat. What did Jesus say? Get behind me. When God's calling you the devil, I think we better wake up.
Amen.
I think we better wake up. You know what Jesus is saying? Peter, you don't get any steering privileges around here. You get to row the boat. I get to row the boat. Whatever God the Father wants, this is His house, His people, His word. I don't adjust it for anybody. I don't adjust it for me. If I don't like it, I don't adjust it for you. I don't adjust it for the 70 that have left. I don't adjust it for Pharaoh for Pilate because he didn't like it. I don't adjust it for man because he didn't like it. He didn't even adjust his meetings for his own mother. That'll blow the Catholics. This ship goes where God Almighty wants it to go. Go back with me to Acts chapter 4, if you would, please. And it came to pass, verse 5, on the next day that their rulers, say rulers again,
rulers.
And elders, say elders,
elders.
And scribes, say scribes. And Annas the high priest and Caiaphas, John and Alexander, and as many as were of the family of the high priest. Do you know what it would take to get this crowd together on your own? Isn't this kind of the who's who of modern Judaism in their day? If Peter, the fisherman, you understand, he doesn't rub shoulders with these people. His family doesn't know anybody who can get these. He doesn't know anybody who knows anybody who knows anybody who can make this happen. If he got on the internet and advertised all year long, he couldn't get these people together. This is the who's who of his day, of his nation. Moreover, these are the same people that he denied the Lord for three times before the rooster crowed twice. Remember that? And God brings the same. You talk about the God of a second chance. God brings the same crowd again, a second time. Fishermen don't preach to these people, folks.
Amen. Come on.
You understand how out of his league he is? God bless the rednecks. He's so far out of his league, he can't even see shore anymore. Jesus Christ has stretched him from the time he first took the first fish and put it in his net. All the walking on the water, all the different times, and all the, I don't want to go here and I don't like the way you're running this. And Jesus said, don't care. Want to walk with me? I steer. That's the rules. And when they had set them, Peter and John, two fish, 3.5 years before. Isn't that long ago? These guys are pulling fish. They got broken nets. They stink. I say it all the time. You catch one fish, you know what you smell like? You don't even have to have a keeper. Just throw it back. All day your hands stink.
Right.
Don't worry about where you were when Jesus started with you. Just stay with the stuff. Can you say amen?
Amen.
And they asked them when they set them in their midst, by what power or by what name have you done this? Then Peter, when Peter stopped steering the boat, when he stopped telling Jesus how to run the ministry, when he began to listen to his pastor and just submitted to the overall wisdom of the Almighty, when he let the high priest of all high priests open up his heart and begin to cleanse him with the fire of the Almighty. When he took him up onto the mountain and he was transfigured before him. God bless Peter, he always said something stupid. You want me to make him a house? Quiet. Just be glad you're here. Man, I relate to that. I found me. Then Peter, when he submitted to the fire, instead of trying to be in charge of the fire, when he let the fire, when he opened up his heart, he said, preacher, baptize me. You know, if you have a real fire, that's not like a little backyard bonfire. I don't want no mama's boy fire. This is a real fire. To where that thing is so stoked, there is so much flame, you can hardly see the sacrifice inside of all those flames anymore. That's what we're talking about, baptized in fire. You can't even see Simon in here anymore. All you can find is Peter. You can't even see Saul of Tarsus in there anymore. All you can see is Paul the Apostle. He's completely submerged inside that fire of the Holy Spirit. Then Peter, after he had been touched, washed, and cleansed, and corrected, and rebuked, and rode through the night, and gone and got the fish with the gold coin in its mouth. And you know, it's a funny-looking pulpit, the Ministry of Helps.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that's a good way to start a church. Rowing in the middle of a storm. Doing what I call all these crazy things. Why have I got to work morning, noon, and night? Everybody else doesn't work morning, noon, and night. Now, why is my church taking all these offerings? Nobody else's church takes all these offerings. You know, I was telling the church the other night, but always amazes me that Peter's walking on the water, but his brother Simon is sitting in the boat. Because I know my mother, she would have said, look how nice Simon's sitting, Ray. Why aren't you sitting in the boat? Simon's so sweet. Simon makes me sick. He got a taste of the power of God.
Amen.
He saw what God could do, that every limit he had ever known all of his life, everything he had ever been taught, could be shattered.
Yes.
In an instant with, then come on out here, Peter. I believe you can still have faith. I believe you can do this. I believe I can make you into a fisher of men if you'll listen to me. But we got to burn away all of your ideas. We got to change all of your standards. We got to adjust this will in you that you can only go so far with the Almighty until this whole thing in you is just singed and burned away again. 17 inches, that's it. Either meet the standard or go back, but I'm not adjusting it for you today. Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them and the rulers of the elders, if this day we are judged for a good deed done to a helpless man, they just brought him out of prison for doing this. His life, in a sense, is in their hands. He does not back down. And by what means he has been made well, let it be known to you all and to all of Israel that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by this name, this man stands before you whole. You can't even see him inside those flames anymore. He's consumed by the fire of the Holy Spirit. In a sense, Simon's dead. It's just Peter living there now. It's just Peter living there now. And ladies and gentlemen, the more you and I can let our pastors just go free to obey God, just do what God said is in you, just obey the Heavenly Father. Pastor, that's all I care. I don't care how long the service is. I don't care how short the service is. I don't care if we dance, clap, or run around, or twist around in circles. It doesn't matter to me. Just burn Ray Bench out of here. Burn my ideas, my doubts, my shortcomings, my flaws, the things in me that you don't want in here anymore, preacher. Take that holy word that you've been given. Lay me open. Lay my sorry carcass, if I can say it that way, over the fire of the Almighty. And throw so many verses, so much wood on. You know the job of the priest? Just keep, you gather wood. Every day God doesn't light it. Just keep gathering wood. Keep gathering wood. Keep gathering wood. Keep gathering wood. That's why I say read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read. Don't look for a revelation. It'll teach itself. Just keep gathering the wood, keep gathering the wood, keep gathering the wood, and one day God says, and everything lights. And the fire of the Holy Spirit begins to go to burning in your soul and in your heart, and you're turned into another man. Can you say amen? Raise your hands, everybody, if you would. Lord, we beg you tonight. We beg you tonight. We beg you tonight. Burn in us with your holy fire. We don't want our churches to settle out into some user-friendly that man likes and people like and everybody endorses us and heaven can't stand the stench of us anymore. Lord, burn in us now. Lord Jesus, you are the great high priest sent from heaven to burn out of Ray Bench with that holy word. Everything that doesn't please you, everything that doesn't belong in me, everything, Lord Jesus, my doubts, my biases, my problems, my shortcomings. Lord, take away from me with your great fire until I am consumed in this fire and they can't even see Ray Bench in here anymore. But all they hear about is the power of your great spirit. May we be like this simple fisherman. Then Peter touched his whole nation because he let God steer the boat where he wanted him to go. Burn in me, Lord. Burn away all the chaff. If you got sin and you got things you need to repent of, now would be a good time for you to just lay it at the altar of the Almighty God. You can come up here if you want. You don't have to, but I'm just saying now would be a good time. If you got things in your life you need to get rid of, you just say, Lord, burn this away now. Burn this away. Take this away from me. My attitudes, my frustrations, my short-temperedness, things in me that don't belong, my worldliness, Lord Jesus, burn away in me. Burn away everything in me that doesn't please you until there's nothing here, Lord, but your holy fire in my heart. In Jesus' name and all God's people, you coming up here, brother? Hallelujah. Is there anybody else who wants to come? You come. I'll open the altars. We're in no hurry. If you want the truth, I feel in my heart there should be more. I'm not pushing you, I'm not prodding you, but I think there's more that could come. Come on, raise your hands, everybody. Pray for a minute. The Lord's doing something here tonight. The Lord's doing something here. Lord, if we've ever expected you to change the standard for us, Lord, we just acknowledge we got to make some adjustments in our life. If that's you, now you come, you come, you come. No one's judging. This is just a room between you and Jesus Christ. This is just a room between you and the God Almighty. You come up here if you need to come. In Jesus' name. Is there anyone else that wants to come? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that they're so hungry for you. Thank you, Lord, that they're so hungry for you. In Jesus' name. Praise His mighty name. Well, give the Lord a good hand clap, everybody. Hallelujah. Pastor, thank you for your time. God bless you.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.